Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the reading on which our meditation is based is the reading just read, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. And so, here you are, you have survived your Greek midterm, you've survived your first major test in Hebrew, you have moved, sometimes clear across the country, maybe you just came here straight out of college, but in all likelihood, you probably had to liquidate a home, pack up a family, move clear across the country to that great and mighty metropolis, Fort Wayne, Indiana. And in all of this, you may begin to wonder why you are preparing to do this job at all, especially after yesterday's homily. After all, you are being asked to give a lot of things up for the sake of the gospel. And now, as I began to ponder this text, I was speaking with Dr. Quill, who some of you will probably meet if you've not met him before, who said, you know, it's okay to say nice things about people in a sermon in a Lutheran church, even though that's not the custom. And so, we will begin to do that today and break with this great and mighty tradition. You are, after all, whether you realize it or not, God's gift to the church. And that's not meant sarcastically, that's meant quite literally. After all, the lesson that we read on Sunday morning, where God, through in the form of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, said, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send workers into his harvest field, was not just a pious sentiment. The church has been, since that day, and continually today, praying that the Lord of the harvest will send workers into his harvest field. You are the answer to that prayer, or at least the beginning of the answer to that prayer. And for that, we thank God that you have responded to the first sense that he may be calling you into the holy ministry or into the service of the diaconate to care for those who need God's mercy and care. And so, as you contemplate that, don't let it get to your head. You are here, but it is in no small part due to what God has been doing all of these years prior to this point of your coming to study at the seminary. He, after all, is the one who inspired those prayers of God's people. He is the one who put that desire in your heart that you just might be the worker he is sending into the harvest field of souls. And that call is just not kind of a recent thing, as if God were to wake up one morning and say, oh yeah, I forgot that guy, let's add him to the list. God has been planning this before he created the world. When he created the world, he looked into the future and saw you and loved you and chose you to be his child and an heir of his kingdom. And he set in motion all of the events that it would take to bring you to existence, to bring you into his family, and to prepare you to enter one or another of the ministries of God's church. He knew, believe it or not, exactly what you were going to be like. Even though he knew that our parents, Adam and Eve, would sin and bring sin into the world, that you would be born as a sinner, and that you would engage in sin from the first day when the doctor took one whack at your rear end and you thought all kinds of not so nice thoughts about him, until this very day. Even though he did this, he loved you anyway and created you anyway and began to ponder what it is that he would do to correct that major problem that you were born in sin. It was for that reason that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Almighty Son of the Father, light itself, decided to come to earth at his Father's sending, to be born of the Virgin Mary, to walk the way of a human being, to live a life of perfect obedience to his Father, to suffer at the hands of the chief priests, to be crucified, and on the third day rise, and ascend into heaven and sit at the right hand of the Father, and send the Holy Spirit into the world. He did this in no small part because he loved you as an individual, not as y'all, and because he wanted you to be his child and live with him forever. It is because of that he sent prior workers into the harvest field of souls to go throughout Europe and Asia, to extend to the Americas, to be there when immigrants arrive to make a new life in this country, to bring them up in the faith, to preach the life-giving gospel to the world, so that when you were born, your parents already believed in Christ, and they brought you to the waters of holy baptism, where God himself picked you up in his arms and said, "You are my son, you are my daughter, you belong to me. Nothing will separate you from my love." He then proceeded to bring uncles and aunts, sponsors and friends, pastors and teachers, and endless people in congregations of the Lord, and eventually school teachers and professors, and now professors of theology, and an occasional not-so-humble librarian, to help prepare you to serve in his church. He used all of these so that you would grow in your faith, that you would come to taste and see that the Lord is good, that your trust and confidence in him would grow, and so when God placed that crazy idea in your mind that maybe, just maybe, you should be a worker in the harvest field of souls, that you trusted him and came to be here with us. And it is for that we thank and praise God for you, even if we don't say it a whole lot. Soon, because soon, God's people are going to begin to pray a little bit more specifically. Roughly a year, maybe a little shorter than that, before God calls you into the office of the ministry or commissions you to care for God's people in acts of mercy, they will be vacant. Their pastor will leave or pass away, or a new congregation will be planted, and they will know that God wants them to have a shepherd and will say to the Lord, "Lord, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Send, Lord, into your harvest workers to bring in the harvest field." Once that begins, you will begin to be finally finished off and prepared to be God's gift for them. Now, that's not because you're all that great. Most of you are pretty smart, but there is always something or another that you're going to have, that you're going to begin to wonder whether you really should be out there after all. Maybe some fieldwork pastor or a vicarage supervisor will say something to you and you'll begin to wonder, "Why am I doing this?" But it's not because of you or the strengths that you have or the absolutely excellent theological education that you have received to that point that you will be God's gift to the church. You will be God's gift to the church because you will have the privilege to carry with you the proclamation that the Lord God did not want to see sinners die, but instead to live, and that in doing so, he died so that they might live forever, and that he wants them to be a part of his kingdom. You will be able to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the various places that God sends you, perhaps even to the ends of the earth itself. And in that case, you will see, as God begins to touch the hearts and lives of people, brings babies to baptism, adults to faith, strengthens faith in the young people, and as you yourself are a part of the preparation of the next workers to enter the harvest field of souls. It will be his sacraments that you administer that will strengthen them and draw them to him, give them his grace, the forgiveness of sins and life and salvation. It will be your voice that will be his in assuring them that he loves them and cares for them and wants them to be with him forever. It will be you that will be by his side in times of trial and trouble, as well as in great times of rejoicing. And you who will be there when the final day comes for an individual and they enter the hands of God himself. That is why it will be a gift to the church. For God himself wants to use you also as a means of bringing his gospel to those who have yet to hear it, so that with them you will wait eagerly for the day when all of this will no longer be necessary, for our Lord Jesus Christ will return from heaven and bring an end to sin, sorrow, grief, and pain once and for all, and will give to us his eternal kingdom. It will be him who saves us in the end and brings us to live with him forever. When the final harvest home is completed and we all rejoice in the great banquet at the end of time, the marriage feast at supper of the Lamb. Amen.
Amen.
And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, fill our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Amen.